Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
So welcome to today's Board of Public Works meeting. Before we begin, I do want to acknowledge why the governor is not here this morning. He's actually attending a funeral of one of our state highway administration employees. As you know, the safety and well-being of our road workers is a priority for the governor and me, as well as our entire administration. In 2024, on March 22nd, 2023, March 22nd, there was the tragic accident on 695 where six of our roadway workers ended up dying because of a work zone crash. Motorists were driving, two motorists were speeding at over 100 miles an hour. So in 2024, our administration took the lead on introducing the Maryland Road Protection Workers Act, or it's the Maryland Road Worker Protection Act. And in that same year, the governor passed this bill. And really the point of it is to address the speeding enforcement that takes place in our work zones and to make sure our road workers are better protected. On any given day in Maryland, there's over 300 work zones that are taking place across state highway roads and over 1,000 workers that are working there. And annually, there's about 1,200 work zone crashes. So that means there's three crashes a day. So it's not a matter of when, when this is going to happen. It happens more frequently than we realize. So what we've seen from this particular bill is that we have made a lot of progress. We cut our annual roadway fatalities by 25% and reduced work zone crashes by 12% in 2025. This is the first time annual roadway fatalities have fallen below 500 in over a decade. But despite our progress, stricter speed enforcement, we continue to see drivers who are not fully present. In fact, as a matter of fact, this past last week of April, two state highway administration employees tragically died in work zone crashes. Robert Dempsey, a resident of Ellicott City, was struck while trying to keep others safe following a car crash on the Capitol Beltway. His funeral services are currently taking place right now, and this is where the governor is to pay respects on behalf of the people of Maryland to his family. On Monday, Deepak Kumar Patel, a resident of City of Delmar, I attended his funeral. Again, he was a road worker, a state employee. He was maintaining a project in Somerset County, and a car came and crashed into him. 70 years old, and he died. So these tragedies are stark reminders that our road workers put their lives on the line every single day, so all of us have safer infrastructure to travel on. The men and women who maintain our roads and highways deserve to come home safely at the end of their shift, just like all of us do. Mr. Dempsey and Mr. Patel were dedicated public servants. We extend our deepest condolences and our full support to their friends, family, and the entire SHA community. I had the opportunity to visit the Morgan State University last week. Look, as much as we're trying to make progress, know that there's many others that are trying to make our road workers feel more safe when they are at their work zones. So Morgan State University is actually working on some really innovative things. Under the leadership of Dr. Jahini, National Transportation Center has created a multi-sensory system to alert road workers when speeding or erratic vehicles are approaching. So when I went there, here's what this technology that they're doing is. It's wearable technology that provides vibration. It also has sound and also has flashing lights to alert our road workers when there's a speeding vehicle coming by. It gives them about 5 seconds to hopefully jump out of the way and protect their lives as well as those that are with them. Really exciting, innovative things that they're doing. And I'm excited by the work. And this will add additional layers of protection for our dedicated roadway workers. But it cannot be understated. We as drivers must follow posted speed limit. Do not drive distracted. Do not drive under the influence. And please obey the move over laws. Please drive carefully every day, but especially this week. Again, as Mother's Day approaches, again, every individual deserves to go home safely. So with that, let's get started on the business of the day. Good morning, Secretary Gontrith.
Good morning, Madam Governor, and good morning to you, Mr. Treasurer and Madam Comptroller. There are 13 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and two reports of emergency procurement contract awards. However, at the request of Morgan State University, I'm withdrawing items 9 and 10, leaving 11 items on the Secretary's agenda this morning and the two reports of emergency procurements for your consideration. Happy to be answering any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. With that, are there any discussion on the Secretary's agenda?
I just have one item I wanted to talk about. I don't get to talk about wetlands very often, but turns out May is American Wetlands Month. And so I wanted to just highlight this one project, item 6, Wetlands License to the South Baltimore Gateway Partnership. This is a really transformative project in South Baltimore that South Baltimore Gateway Partnership has taken the lead on for many years. This is going to create a new public waterfront trail. It restores shoreline habitat through marsh planting and adds really important erosion protection to the South Baltimore area. This is, think Cherry Hill, Westport, all along that coastline where Harbor Hospital is and more. And I think this is the type of project that both makes our waterways more accessible and also more resilient. It's going to create access to a waterfront that for decades Marylanders have not had access to. And that's really exciting. So I'm grateful to Administrator Morganti and his team for the work that they continue to do. Thank you. Nice bow tie. And looking forward to touring this site later this month. But it's just wanted to highlight how important these sorts of restorations are. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Madam Comptroller. May I have a motion to approve this?
I'd like when the Secretary, and I believe it's item 12.
Is a Maryland Stadium Authority bid package for improvements to Maryland racing facilities.
Just quickly for the record, how much is this particular portion the overall project that we're approving today?
Today, Mr. Treasurer, this item is for $3,930,574. It's for LED boards, food service equipment, and laundry equipment, I believe at Pimlico. But we have Mr. McGuigan available from the Stadium Authority who can confirm.
And I guess the bid package is, this is 7 that we're approving, but the overall amount is nearly $184 million. Am I reading that?
Yes, Mr. Treasurer. But Mr. McGuigan, who is joining us virtually, can confirm. Is connected.
You know what? It's not that big a deal if they're not getting. I guess my underlying, not even really a question. I just want to sort of reemphasize the amount of investment that the state has made and continues to make. And I'm hoping that this gets us there, gets us to where we need to be, because bluntly, I get the history of horse racing, but at some point, we have to get to it, sink or swim. Can it survive? We can't keep pouring massive amounts of dollars into this industry for the third weekend in May. And I know the conversations about year-round, but that's not really working, which is why we're here. So the bottom line is that we're doing this for the third weekend in May. And when you start looking, and it's fine if this actually works, but if it does not, if this doesn't get us to where we need to be, then we got to start looking at, I believe in econ, they call it opportunity cost. And what are we foregoing, in terms of the difference we can make in our communities and so forth, where these kinds of dollars will make a difference. Where in a lasting difference. So, I wanted to keep sort of pointing that out, that if we have to come back here in another year or two or whatever with another proposal or another way to bring it along, I think we're going to have a serious conversation about what we're doing. Is this the right approach, or is this a commitment we want to keep on making despite the fact that maybe we already know what the outcome's going to be? So, Madam Governor, I certainly look forward to supporting this, but it would have been remiss of me to not point that out, especially now. I think we all recently got a letter from the Legislative Policy Committee, and now they're asking questions about the training facility. So I think we're getting to the point where everybody, they're starting to realize, well, not starting to realize, but the opportunity cost is coming more to the fore. And, we're looking for that cost benefit analysis as to, is this a road we need to keep going down? So thank you. Thank you, Madam Governor.
Mr. Treasurer, thank you so much, and noted. If there's no other questions, may I have a motion to approve the Secretary's agenda?
Thank you, and thank you, Mr. Treasurer. Thank you, Madam Governor. There, a move to adopt the Secretary's agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Now let's proceed to the Department of Natural Resources agenda. Good morning, Secretary Kurtz.
Morning, Madam Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller. For the record, Josh Kurtz, Secretary of the Department of Natural Resources. The department has 12 items, totaling 14 projects for your review today. Myself and my team are here to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. Are there any discussions on the DNR agenda? May I have a motion to approve the DNR agenda?
Motion to approve the DNR agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up, the University System of Maryland. Good morning, Mr. Hickey.
Good morning, Governor, Mr. Treasurer, Madam Comptroller, Tom Hickey, representing University System of Maryland. There are 5 items for your consideration. Happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Hickey. Is there any discussion on the USM agenda?
Thanks for answering our questions.
May I have a motion to approve the USM agenda?
Motion to approve the USM agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's proceed to the MDOT agenda. Good morning, Ms. Radomski.
Good morning, Governor, Madam Comptroller, Mr. Treasurer. For the record, my name is Valerie Radomski, Chief Procurement Officer for the Maryland Department of Transportation. Today, we are presenting 12 agenda items for your consideration, and we have representatives available to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you. I believe the comptroller has some.
Yes, I just wanted to make a couple notes. This is National Small Business Week. 98% of businesses in Maryland are small businesses. And on this week's agenda, we have 3 new contract awards to certified small businesses, which is great to see. Also, I will note, every contract except one is being awarded to a Maryland business. And I think especially as we see federal government retrenchment from supporting our contractors, we need to ensure that we are doing all we can to support our Maryland-based businesses and to keep those dollars circulating in our local economy, which leads to best value for the state of Maryland. I know this is not a new thing that I'm saying, but I felt like it was a good time to reiterate just how important it is when we award contracts to Maryland-based businesses, there is an additional benefit, right? We keep Those dollars circulating in Maryland, we, you know, many of them are corporations. They're, you know, based here, and so we're collecting revenue in a different way. So, you know, when we invest in Maryland businesses, that money really stays in Maryland communities. And when Maryland businesses do better, Maryland does better. So thanks to MDOT for, and to its different, the different agencies within it for showing that this type of investment in Maryland is possible and adds value. Thanks so much, and look forward to seeing future agendas or agendi like this. Thank you.
Thank you for acknowledging our efforts, Madam Comptroller. And we're very happy that most of the contracts on this agenda are going to certified small businesses. Reflecting increased investments in small businesses under this administration, MDOT has awarded 296 contracts worth a total amount of $383 million to small businesses since January 2023. And because the Procurement Reform Act took effect in October of 2025, and we started designating all procurements under $1 million, small business reserve, whenever there's two or more, you will continue to see many, many awards to small businesses on our agenda.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Rolinski, and thank you, Madam Comptroller. Mr. Treasurer, do you have any comments?
Nothing other than the Comptroller and I supported the small the Procurement Act last year. So.
Good. Well, we thank you for that. If there's no further questions, may I have a motion to approve the MDOT agenda?
Motion to approve the MDOT agenda.
Is there a second?
Second.
Thank you. Thank you. Let's conclude with the DGS agenda. Good morning, Secretary Chaudhry.
Morning, Madam Governor, Madam Comptroller, and Mr. Treasurer. For the record, I'm the Chief Chaudhry, Secretary of the Maryland Department of General Services. Today, the department is presenting 49 items in our agenda. We'll be withdrawing three items today. That's item 5CGL, item 37IT, and item 46LL. We plan to include item 46LL on our agenda at the next BPW meeting on May the 20th. Our agenda does feature 30 capital grants and loans totaling more than $23.6 million. I want to highlight one in particular, and that's item 22CGL, which provides $2.5 million to the Board of Directors of Humanum, where Humanum serves individuals with special needs, including children, adolescents, and adults. And this grant will be used to renovate the first floor of their Woodside building to create a more welcoming, functional, and community-oriented space for both their Humanum stakeholders as well as for the general public. As we continue to keep an eye on our certified small business partner participation during Small Business Week, our agenda does feature two contract actions to certified small business totaling more than $640,000. We have ANC representatives here to answer any questions you may have.
Thank you so much, Mr. Secretary. I would like to highlight item number 60, which is a request to award $4.9 million capital grant to the Maryland Zoological Societies for facility construction and exhibit improvements for Maryland Zoo in Baltimore. The Maryland Zoo sits on 135-acre campus nestled in Druid Hill Park in Baltimore. It was chartered by the state in 1876 and is the nation's third oldest zoo. The zoo welcomes upwards of 380,000 visitors each year, providing educational programs, scholarship opportunities, and summer camp experiences for students. Additionally, the zoo remains committed to its sustainability and conservation goals by contributing to dozens of ongoing research studies each year. So if you haven't already been there, I highly recommend that each of you visit our amazing Maryland Zoo and learn more about the work to save animal species and habitats around the globe. As a matter of fact, I believe in June, they're going to open the red panda exhibit. And Madam Comptroller, I think we were there at the ribbon cutting, right? Really exciting. You have to see the red pandas. They're very, very cute. So I hope you make it out there to see them. So if there's no further questions on the DGS agenda, I believe you have some, right?
So yes, Madam Comptroller. Appreciate it. Yes. And I'm sure Kirby Fowler from the zoo is watching and is very excited and appeared on my TV screen this weekend in a commercial. I was like, I know that voice. And all of a sudden it was Kirby. So I did want to highlight item 12 because last weekend was Flower Mart. And Flower Mart draws tens of thousands of people from all over the region to Baltimore's historic Mount Vernon to help celebrate the start of spring. And if you're like my kids, you also get a lemon stick. And item 12 is to Preservation Maryland to help stabilize and rehab properties in Mount Vernon to make sure that we can keep having great flower marts. So, and then I wanted to go to DGS agenda item 31S to do a shameless plug for our latest policy research report. This is a contract all about Medicaid, and it keeps the Maryland Medicaid provider network intact, which is essential. As we reported in our latest policy research report on healthcare and the economy, healthcare is the single largest employer in Maryland with 427,000 jobs. Our 17 health systems injected $23 billion into the state economy last year and contributed more than $500 million in income tax withholdings. So, you know, hospitals are not just buildings, they are truly anchor institutions and the foundation of an industry that employs 1 in 6 Marylanders. And the industry is under threat, right? 1 in 4 Marylanders relies on Medicaid. Nearly $1 in every 4 in our state budget is dedicated to Medicaid spending. But the most recent changes to Medicaid at the federal level under HR 1 could trigger massive coverage losses for hundreds of thousands of Marylanders and cut the funding that hospitals depend on to operate. And this report that we released, it's intended to inform policymakers and stakeholders across the state about the healthcare industry in Maryland, because under these threats, this industry is going to need all of us to work together to protect it and to protect Marylanders, more importantly. My office is happy to brief anyone who wants to dig more into the findings. Thank you, Madam Governor, for giving me a moment to highlight that. And one more. On DGS agenda item 38M, this is the contract for statewide pre-sort mailing services. This is a long time coming, I know. And when I discussed this item with DGS, thank you very much, Jamie and team, they clarified that pre-sort mail, which is this contract, is separate from postage. However, our postage rates by agency fluctuate based on the way that we are procuring or working with different companies to do the pre-sort mail or whether we're doing it in-house, right? We have a very big mail facility in the office of the comptroller. And I don't know that DGS, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is DGS doesn't really have visibility into what each state agency is spending on postage. Is that fair to say?
I think that's something we can certainly take a look at. I don't think we've got direct visibility on it just because every agency is doing something different in doing different work orders. Yeah,
exactly. Like this is a little bit of a black box, like how much we're paying for postage because different agencies are operating under different arrangements. And right now it's just not clear whether the state is getting consistent and competitive rates. So I'm working with my team to confirm whether this is something that we can see through FEMIS, our financial management information system. Certainly, when we modernize and have a new ERP for the state, I do believe we'll be able to have more transparency into this. But you know, I think this postage and what we're paying, especially as costs continue to increase, is one small place that we could. That I know the governor's team and DGS and others. They have you have a great team on government efficiency that they could dig in on and see if there's ways that we could create savings across the state for all our different agencies. So thanks to your team for talking to me about that. And I've already spoke to folks in the governor's office about maybe this is another place that we could dig in. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Madam Comptroller. Thank you, Mr. Secretary. There's no further discussions. May I have a motion to approve the DGS agenda?
Motion to approve the DGS agenda.
Is there a second? Thank you. That concludes today's meeting of the Board of Public Works. And once again, I want to wish all the mothers out there happy Mother's Day. Hope you have a safe and enjoyable weekend. The next meeting will be May 20th. Thank you all. We are adjourned.